1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We'll read one scripture, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for a faithful God? A faithful God, a just God, forgives us of our sins. And then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 through 22, Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I have to forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto you just seven times, but until 70 times seven. Jesus was saying, as many times as your brother offends you, hurts you, sins against you, we want to be forgiven. Would you help me this morning for just, I don't know, can we pray for 30 seconds that God would speak to us today? I really feel that, and as a preacher of the gospel, sometimes you feel it more than others. We always prepare something, but God sort of leading me in this direction a good solid 2 weeks ago, when I first saw the calendar. And Pastor Pinero is very diligent, and he schedules Brother Bonham out. He knows when he's going to be gone, and so we typically know 1, 2, 3 months in advance what days we might be helping Pastor and preaching or teaching. And 2, 3 weeks ago, maybe right here during service, God gave me a thought, and I really feel that God has something that he wants to impart to me and to you this morning. And for him to do that, you know, the word is always anointed. The word is always powerful. But for us to receive what God has prepared for us, then our hearts have to be right. Our spirits have to be yielded. Our defenses just have to be kind of down a little bit so the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, can speak right to us. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon us this morning. Jesus, we need you today. God, we're grateful for your word. We're thankful for your presence, for your Spirit, for your anointing that's already evidenced in the house today. God, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be yielded to you. Our spirits would be submitted to you. God, we pray that your word would come forth, Lord, with anointing, God, with power, with liberty, God. Lord, so that you can speak to each and every one of us, God, for you know where we're at. You see our needs. You see our life, our cares, our concerns. You know right where we're at today, God, and our trust is in you. Our belief is in you. We're believing you to do great things for us. Because we stand in need of you today, and we pray in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. God, for what you're already doing. Would you clap your hands in thanksgiving this morning? Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, God. You're a good God. You're a holy God. Oh, there's none like you, Jesus. Amen, amen. You may be seated. And so, I want to talk about the power of forgiveness. And it's a basic tenet of Christianity, and we know it. None of us here today are strangers to Christianity, strangers to Pentecost. And so we know that sin will keep us out of heaven. We know that sin is the first step in the plan of salvation. And repentance is the first step, I would say, in the plan of salvation. And a prayer of repentance should not be just part of our initial step to approach God, and it has to be, but it should be part of our daily prayer. It should be part. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but anybody ever sinned after they got the Holy Ghost? And so repentance has to be part of our daily communication with the Lord if we're going to stay right before God, if we want our spirits to stay right, before Him. I'm thankful for a merciful God. We read the opening scripture said that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm thankful for his mercy. Another scripture says that that is fresh every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so he's faithful and he's just to forgive. And other scriptures let us know that he also forgets. When we bring a prayer of repentance before the Lord, of sincere repentance, God forgives us. He shed his blood on Calvary for you and me. And so when he forgives us of our sins, he forgets them. They are no longer remembered by him. He is not rehearsing your sins when he has nothing else to do. I don't know if God ever has downtime, but he's not up there thinking about all the things that you used to be and that you used to say and that you used to be a part of. He has forgotten those when you repented of your sins and the blood of Calvary flowed on your behalf. I am thankful for a God that is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the scripture says, and he's a God of second chances and third chances. Somebody ought to be getting excited about right now. He's a God of fourth chances. He's a God of fifth chances. And we are admonished as well, just as when Peter asked the Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother when he sins him against me? Should I do it seven times? And Jesus said, no. 70 times seven. As many times. As great as God's mercy was shed for you, so often in like manner should we forgive those that sin against us, that offend us, that hurt us. Anybody remember the feeling, how you felt when you came out of the waters of baptism, when you were baptized in the name of Jesus? Oh, there's no feeling like that. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus, then you got to repent of your sins, because you got to go through that. I want you to experience that coming out of the water and the fresh feeling, the new feeling. Literally, you're a new creature. The old man, the old nature, the old sinful carnal nature has just been washed away, and all the sin, the weight of sin and cares and concern that just pile up on us day by day and year by year when we live and exist in a sinful world, it all just flows away. You remember that feeling? What an awesome feeling when we come out of the waters of baptism. But if we don't stay full of the Spirit, if we don't pray, if we don't spend time in personal devotion, if we don't stay in the Word, then the old person, the old nature, comes back up. And all that Jesus forgave us of and forgot about, he doesn't even remember it anymore, we'll start remembering it. All the old hurts. You remember when, maybe you don't, when you got baptized, you loved everybody. Yeah, you loved everybody. You loved your old cantankerous boss. You loved your mother-in-law. You know, some of you could have said amen there. There wasn't anybody that you had an issue with when you come out of the waters of baptism. You felt the love of Jesus, and that was permeating. It was emanating from you. But when we don't stay full of the Spirit, that old sinful man begins to come back. The things that we thought we were over, the things that we thought we were past, the things that Jesus doesn't remember anymore come back to torment us. The old wrongs, the old hurts, the old offenses, we begin to replay them in the video of our mind. You know, the brain's a powerful thing, and we use it for good, but that's something about the brain that does not work to our benefit, because we don't easily forget. Even when we forgive, even when we think we have moved on, if we don't stay full of the Spirit, then those old things will creep back and weigh us back down. And we'll find out that what we thought we were over and past now have resurfaced. And now they're an issue again in our life. Old hurts and offenses, grudges of the past, as well as new offenses. I would dare say when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost and you were baptized in the name of Jesus, it was hard to offend you. You didn't care if somebody cut you off in traffic. Whatever. You know, you're with Jesus. You got Jesus inside. You're just driving down the road. You know, if somebody snubbed you, if somebody lied about you, well, just because they said it, don't make it true. You know, you're just going on doing your thing. But when we fall away, oh, we don't like to think of it as that way. When we get busy, because busy, life is busy, and we're not as faithful as perhaps we once were in our personal devotion, then without realizing it, we don't make a conscious decision to backslide. We don't even want to call it that. But it can be that the Spirit, we are not as full of the Spirit as we were when we were first filled with the Spirit. Because we slowly become perhaps more easily offended. We become perhaps more, just a little bit more carnal, things that wouldn't bother us, that didn't bother us when we were full of the Holy Ghost, now are a bigger deal to us. And things of the past, loved ones that hurt us, maybe through their own selfishness, maybe through decisions that they make, maybe people taking advantage of you. Anybody like to be taken advantage of? No. And while we still love them, because we know we got to love everybody, right, to make it to heaven, we perhaps begin to harbor resentment. We perhaps begin to maybe even harden the shell around ourselves so that we can't be hurt again. And perhaps we allow a little seed of offense to grow up into a root of bitterness that can contaminate and poison our entire life and our entire outlook and cloud, as it were, make it like a filter that we see everything through this filter, this cloud of hurt and this filter and cloud of bitterness that now no longer just affects the originator where it came from, but now it's affecting our entire life and it's poisoning our entire outlook and it's dramatically changing how we live and work and exist on a daily basis. And it can be that we never realize it. We think we have forgiven them. But because we're not God, it's much harder for us to forget. And when we're not praying as much as we should and staying in the Word, and then those old feelings can come back if we're not careful. Seeds of offense turning into a root of bitterness. I'm thankful for the blood of Calvary this morning. Aren't you? I'm thankful for the work that he did. Came to this earth, put on a robe of flesh, came to this earth to withstand unspeakable shame, taking on the sins of the world for me and you, so that we don't have to carry them around. We don't have to be weighted down by them anymore. But we got to get past them ourselves. And we've got to stay full of the Spirit. Amen. Because of the cross, you're forgiven. Because of the cross, I'm forgiven. And because I am forgiven, I can forgive. Because you are forgiven, then you can forgive. You can forgive. You need to remind yourself of that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Paul writes, "Be ye kind one to another," and he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." He said, be nice. You know, be tenderhearted. Be kind. Forgive one another, just as God forgives you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul writing again to the church. Isn't it interesting how, you know, he's writing to people that are saved. He's writing to people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. And he's writing very similar things to different congregations of God's people at different points in time. But there seems to be, in each of these different churches, if you will, recurring reasons to preach the same message, if we could put it that way. Colossians 3:13, he says, forbearing one another. That word forbearing means be long-suffering. Put up with one another. Don't be so critical of them. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Wow. So if we got a problem with anybody, we should forgive them as Jesus forgave us. Now, when Jesus forgives, remember, he don't remember it anymore. That's harder for us to do. That's why we got to pray. That's why we got to stay in the Word. We got to come to church and hear the preaching and teaching of the Word. And we need to spend some time in personal devotion, because our mind, our spirit is washed and rejuvenated and renewed by the Word. And so we need the Word, because if we're going to forgive as Jesus forgave, it's something we got to work at. Because we could forgive them, and now here we are 2 years later, 3 years, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks later, but something happened to make us remember. Maybe we just had, it might be as simple as we've been so busy we haven't prayed as much as we used to. And we got to keep this flesh under subjection to our spirit man, or the flesh gets stronger than our spirit man. And what we thought we had forgiven others of, it could have been 30 years ago. And then you come to the Lord and you forgave and God forgave you and you went on. But now perhaps some of those old feelings are coming back. And we're mad. We're offended. We're hurt. It's not a good place to be when you're hurt. When you get hurt, sometimes you're embarrassed that you were hurt. You don't want anybody else to know about it. So oftentimes we don't talk about it. We just keep it inside. And it affects us. It creates that filter. It creates that cloud, that lens by which we are now viewing everything. Things that had nothing to do with what happened 30 years ago or 2 weeks ago or last night. But we allowed it to poison our entire life if we're not careful. Then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is a very sobering passage of Scripture because Jesus ties in us forgiving those that have hurt us and offended us and done us wrong and lied against us and perhaps cheated us and who knows all the different ways that sin is used against us. And Jesus ties it in. If you forgive men their trespasses, their wrongs. He's not saying they weren't wrong. He's not saying you're not right to feel that way, to feel hurt, to feel cheated. But if you forgive them, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so we find that failure to forgive others hinders our own forgiveness. And that makes it something that you and I have to address. We got to take, if we're, this is a salvation issue now. It's not just a feel good issue. It's not about, holding this inside of me and it affecting my life in any way. But Jesus puts it in such a way that he lets us know that this is a salvation issue. That we cannot be fully forgiven and have the benefits of full forgiveness if we are harboring resentment, if we are harboring ill feelings, if we have not really forgiven. You know, there's a lot of things in life that you can say you're doing something, or you can say you love someone. But who was it that said, you know, the proof's kind of in the pudding. You know, if you really love someone, it's kind of evident in the way in your relationship with them. You know, and so we can say something, but then the way we act is really going to evidence if that's a reality for us. You know, I can tell my wife I love her all day long, or maybe just once, you know. I told her 32 years ago, what, I got to tell her again? And we know as men and husbands that that doesn't work. We've got to remind him of that. But you know what? It's not just the words that we have to say, because words are pretty cheap. They don't cost me nothing. You know, it's how I act on a daily basis. It's how I respond when I'm mad, when I'm angry. Bible says, be angry and sin not. I'm thankful for a God whose mercies are fresh every morning. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to pray a prayer of repentance every day as part of my daily devotion before the Lord. And so failure to forgive others hinders our own forgiveness. So how do we withhold forgiveness? Because sometimes we do that, and I believe oftentimes, perhaps without realizing that we, because again, we may say the words, and we may think at a very high level that we have forgiven. But I would pray that God would speak to us, each and every one of us this morning, and perhaps you need to say, God, search me. God, help me. If there's something in my heart, in my life, that perhaps I've not, maybe I'm not past it. God, I want to make it right. I want to make it right before you. If I need to make it right before someone else, God, help me to be a big enough person to do that. Because we can withhold forgiveness by just holding on to hurt feelings. Oh, I forgive them. You know, it's easy to say that. But if we're holding on to it inside, if we play that video over and over in our mind of what they said, and then what you said, and then the way they acted after they said it, and then they've never come back and asked you to forgive them. Well, I forgive them anyway because I'm going to be the big person here. But have you really? Or are we just saying the things that we know we should say, you know, as a Christian? Have we really forgiven those, or how are we holding on to them? Are we remembering? Are we rehearsing offenses and wrongs? And forgiveness is not I don't want to come across as making light of this morning, because it is not easy to forgive the way Jesus forgives. He makes it look easy because he's the God of all creation. You and I have to work at it. We may have to make it a point, a part of our daily prayer. God, I forgive this. You might have to pray for that same person in that same instant daily for years before you really get past it. So don't think I'm up here saying, well, if you would just really forgive and say from the depths of your heart and mean it, then that fixes it. No, I know that's not true, because there have been things that I've had to, it's taken me years and months sometimes to get past something, to get past someone. And so I know it's not something that we can easily do, but it's something that is so important. This is salvation stuff this morning, that you got to get it. We got to work at it. It's something we got to face every day. And if you got to say, God, I forgive that person every day, and the first time you say it, it's even hard to say it. You know, because maybe in your heart, you really don't mean it yet. But if you say it, and you ask God to help you with it, God will help you. God hears those kinds of prayers. God wants to help you get past the hurt, get past the offense, get past the insecurities that have been created by those that have sinned against you. And so perhaps it was things that was said to us over and over as a child. Maybe it was ways that we were treated a long time ago or very recently. Maybe it was people that lied about us. Doesn't that just infuriate you when somebody says something that is just so far off the wall, you know? And they're telling somebody that you had a separate problem with that person, and so it seems like, so that person must know that the other problem has a person with you, so that's the one they're talking to, you know, and telling the lie against you. They wouldn't tell it to your best friend, because your best friend knows you well enough to know that, you know, there could be no element of truth to it. But that's how the devil works, and that's how our flesh works. And people that lied against us, betrayed us, wronged us, I forgive them. I just don't want to ever see them again. Well, you know, it's not easy for us. I don't want to ever talk to them again. We need to question ourselves this morning. Have we really forgiven them? And we need to ask God to examine ourselves and help us to see the situation as God sees it. Help us not to see it through our biased view. You know, we have a biased view of life. We see ourselves, we see our children, we see our situation oftentimes a little bit different than the way other people might see it. Might be a whole lot different than the way God sees it. Let that be part of our prayer this morning when we come to pray after the Sunday school lesson. God, help me to see me as you see me. God, if there's things in my heart, if there's things in my spirit, if there's something that I need to work on, God, help me to see it like you see it. God, I want to be right before you. I don't want there to be any barrier. I don't want there to be any hindrance. I don't want there to be a concrete ceiling that keeps my prayers from ascending to you because there's some barrier, there's some hardness, there's some root of bitterness that I've allowed to spring up in my life. We got to forgive like Jesus forgives. Amen. That's what the scripture says. This is a salvation issue. Don't let someone you don't even like keep you out of heaven. Think about it like that. You're not going to let them keep you out of heaven. You're going to make it right. You're going to get past it. You're going to love them. Doesn't mean they're going to be your best friend. Doesn't mean you're going to have them over for barbecue. That's not what God is saying. But you got to get to where you're not dwelling on it. You're not allowing it to weigh you down. You're not allowing it to taint your view of life and poison your outlook on everything else. You got to love them. You got to forgive them. You got to move on from it. Man, I should have wrote that line down. I'm going to have to remember that. Don't let someone you don't even like keep you out of heaven. Remember that one. Somebody, Brother Ronnie, remind me of that one. I got to write that down. I might have a chance to use that again. So a couple weeks, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I was starting to kind of really feel that this was where God wanted me. Maybe he just thought I needed to be here this morning, and this not helping any of you. And that's okay too. But I did a little research. And of course, you can't get more authentic research than the Word of God, but I know some of you are carnal, and so I went to Google. And so I had heard before, and I don't know where I'd heard it, but I had heard that unforgiveness and bitterness, that it would have ill effects on you, health effects. But I don't know where that came from. I don't remember who told me. I don't know where I read it. Maybe it was a Reader's Digest article, you know, 20 years ago. And so I went to John Hopkins Medicine Research. And then I went to the Mayo Clinic. And I'm going to give you some highlights and even read verbatim some of the things that I saw. Anybody ever heard of John Hopkins Medicine, Mayo Clinic? We've heard of these places. They're very well, perhaps, Dr. Walker, Sister Walker could probably lend veracity. Does the Mayo Clinic have a good reputation, Dr. Walker? If you don't know where else to go, I've heard of people taking their kids or their spouses to the Mayo Clinic because they're just at that level, from a health perspective. So John Hopkins Medicine says this: chronic anger puts you into a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes to your heart rate, your blood pressure, and immune responses. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, and this is not a Christian organization. This is a medical research. Forgiveness, however, calms stress levels, leading to improved health. And then the Mayo Clinic says this: who hasn't been hurt by the actions or words of another? Perhaps a parent constantly criticized you growing up, a colleague sabotaged a project, or your partner had an affair, or maybe you've had a traumatic experience, such as being physically or emotionally abused by someone close to you. These wounds can leave you with lasting feelings of anger and bitterness, even vengeance. But if you don't practice forgiveness — this is still the Mayo Clinic, I'm just reading it to you because I want you to hear it from their perspective — if you don't practice forgiveness, you might be the one who pays most dearly. By embracing forgiveness, you can also embrace peace, hope, gratitude, and joy. Consider how forgiveness can lead you down the path of physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And then they say this, they define what is forgiveness, and they have several paragraphs on what forgiveness actually is. Forgiveness means different things to different people. Generally, however, it involves a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. The act that hurt you or offended you, it might always be with you, because we're not God. You know, God can forgive and forget, and we are humanity. It may always be with you, Mayo says, but forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you, or even making up with the person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you go on with life. So again, you're not necessarily inviting them over for the 4th of July barbecue and to watch the fireworks together, but you're getting to where it doesn't consume you. You know, you're not sitting there stewing about it when you're sitting on your patio and rehearsing it over and over and over. And then the Mayo Clinic talks about what are the benefits of forgiving someone. Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less stress, anxiety, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system. I'm all about not getting that annual cold. You know, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, improved self-esteem. We're not talking about just eternal benefits, and you can't get greater than making it to heaven. But we're talking about things that are going to make whatever time we have on earth, if it's 20 years or 100 years, better, more enjoyable, more fun, if you will. And so then they say this is still Mayo Clinic: why is it so easy to hold a grudge. Being hurt by someone, particularly someone you love, and we could all testify to that, and trust, can cause anger, sadness, and confusion. And if you dwell on hurtful events or situations, replaying them in our mind, grudges filled with resentment, vengeance, and hostility can take root. If you allow negative feelings to crowd out positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness or sense of injustice. God forbid. That is not the life that God has planned for you. When He filled you with the Holy Ghost, He filled you with His Spirit, He made you to be an overcomer of all of those things. But we gotta stay full of the Spirit. We gotta stay in the Word. We've gotta say, God, help me. God, cleanse me. God, forgive me. God, purify me afresh, anew, day after day after day, so that we are not weighted down by those weights and sins that so easily can sneak back in. So what is forgiveness? There's more for Mayo, and this was just, I took like, I don't know, one page out of, I don't know how many pages, they were talking about. It's a big deal. I read another article years ago that I've referenced a few times, and it wasn't talking so much. It was talking about stress. And if you're with us so far in that you agree that harboring stuff over time, creates anger in us. Anger creates stress. I read that, I want to say it was like 93-94% of all hospital stays they felt were in some way stress was a contributing factor. Think about that. Let's call it 93. Take the low end. 90% of all hospital stays, stress was a contributing factor to getting someone to where they needed that kind of help. So what does forgiveness do versus harboring offense? Forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness, you know, it's like coming out of the waters of baptism, right? You remember that. That feeling of, you're not weighted down anymore. You're past it. It's in the past. It don't affect you. You're a new creature in Christ. You're going on from here on out. And so that's why we need to repent every day, because I want that feeling. I need to be washed clean, washed fresh, anew every day. I don't want to be weighted down by yesterday's sins, by yesterday's insecurities, by yesterday's memories. You know, when we get tired, when we get sick, that's the hardest part. When you're not on top of your game physically, it's hard to stay up spiritually. You know, if you're having to take medication because of a medical need, that changes the way we think sometimes. And so we have to be aware of that and conscious of that. That's why we don't make life decisions when you're not feeling good. You don't make, you know, when you're going through the struggle, whether it's a physical struggle or even a spiritual struggle, and you know that you're battling with something, and maybe it's been a month, 3 months, maybe it's been a year, maybe it's been a couple of years, and you know that you're not really thinking straight, and you're trying to get past it, but you're still working on it. Then in those times, you need to make sure you're not making big life decisions. Because you're not being led by the Spirit oftentimes. You know, we're led by the flesh. So we got to focus on, in those times, we just got to focus on getting close to God. We just got to get our eyes off of life and off of circumstances and off of problems and elevate our gaze to Jesus. And when we get fully reconnected to Him, then if there's decisions to be made, we can make big decisions. We can allow God, and we can have confidence that it is, we're being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Romans talks very clearly about that. We want to be led by the Spirit because our flesh deceives us. Our heart deceives us. Our outlook, our mind, our spirit. You know, if we're not in tune with the Holy Ghost, then we can be led into making wrong decisions. God forbid. That's not God's will for you, or for me, that we would go off and do what we think is right, do what we feel is right, in times, in moments, in months, in years of trial, of test, perhaps of disappointment. God help us. And so forgiveness truly frees us. But harboring offense just keeps us bound. You know, it hinders us in ways that we can't even imagine. Forgiveness lightens our load. You know, after you were baptized, you probably didn't touch the carpet. You know, walking from the baptistry to the front, you were just like, you were 4 inches above it. You know, you weren't weighted down by anything. And so forgiveness lightens our load, but harboring offense, it poisons our entire outlook. It affects our entire life. Forgiveness unifies us. Harboring offense isolates us. It makes us feel like nobody understands, like we're going through something nobody else in the world has ever gone through. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, none of us are that special. You know, we all have issues. We all have problems. We all have insecurities. We all go through times and we're not praying as much as we should. And so we're not seeing things clearly and we become more offended than we should. And oftentimes the people that offend us don't even realize that they offended us. Maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe they were sick. Maybe they're going through things you can't even dream of. And so they responded the wrong way. They said the wrong thing. They never even considering its impact upon you. And here we are 6 months later and you're rehearsing it. You know, God forbid, you got to forgive them. You got to get past it. You know, you're not punishing them by holding on to it. No, you're hurting yourself. You got to get past it. You got to forgive them. You got to ask God to help you. God, I want to forgive. It's not easy. You got to help me. God will help you do that. God will help you do that. He'll help you get past it and forgive them and allow the blood of Calvary to cleanse both of you. And so forgiveness is not dependent on the offender asking for forgiveness. Oh, that's a tough one. They did such and such, and they haven't even acknowledged it. Well, one, they may not know that they did it. How could they not know? There was 15 people there, all kind of witnesses. Maybe they know, but they didn't know the effect it had on you. They didn't know you were so carnal you were going to hold on to that for 6 months. They thought you were a bigger Christian than you were. I don't know. God help us. God help us. Forgiveness is not offered for the benefit of the offender. You know, we're not forgiving them to make them feel better, to get them to acknowledge that they did something wrong to us. No, we're forgiving them for ourselves. We want to make it to heaven. We don't want our blood pressure to stay up all the time. We want to be healthier. We want to have a right mind, a right heart, a right spirit. We don't want to have that poisoned outlook that unforgiveness does to us. And so you have to forgive to be forgiven. We read the scripture. You have to forgive to move on, to get past it. You're not punishing the offender by withholding forgiveness. They don't even realize you're where you're at most of the time. And if they do, they probably don't understand it. And they may never. But for yourself, you got to get past it. You got to forgive. They're probably past it. If they did know about it, they're probably way past it. And it's your life that's being ruined. It's not their life. It's not affecting them anymore. It's your life it's affecting. It's your mind that's clouded. You're the one bearing the crushing weight of offense. God forbid. That's not the will of God. That's not God's plan for you. That's not God's plan for me. We are handicapped when we are walking around with offenses that are weighing us down. We're not as effective as we should be in the kingdom of God. We're not as yielded a vessel as we might convince ourselves that we are on the surface. We're not as sensitive to the Holy Ghost and the leading of the Spirit when we have allowed these things to cloud us and to keep us from being sensitive to God. So you got to forgive, not because someone asked you to, not because it's deserved. A lot of times it's not deserved. You're right in feeling that what they did was wrong. That's not what forgiveness is about. It's not about validating the other person and you acknowledging they're right and you're wrong. No, that's not what it's about. They may very well have been wrong. But you know what? Let God deal with them. You're not going to let it weigh you down. You want to make it to heaven. You want to be right with God. So you're going to let God take care of them. You're not going to hold on to it. You got to move on. You got to move on. You're not validating the offender. Forgiving them does not mean that you weren't hurt. Doesn't mean that you didn't have a good reason to be offended. It just means you're moving on. You're not going to allow it to weight you down and ruin your life. It's just saying, I'm bigger than that. I'm not going to allow this to rob from me God's intended purpose for my life. You've been forgiven much. You've been forgiven much. You've been forgiven a whole lot. You're not deserving of the mercy of God. I'm not deserving of the mercy of God. I'm not deserving that he would shed his blood for me. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. We're nothing. We don't deserve the mercy of God. You don't deserve to be forgiven. You know things about yourself that nobody else knows. Thank God we don't know, because we wouldn't be able to forget those things about you. Thank God that he knows and he forgave them and he forgot them. He doesn't remember them anymore. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your forgiveness. You've been forgiven much. You've been forgiven much. So you gotta forgive. You gotta forgive. You gotta get past it. You gotta get past it. You gotta move on. God's got bigger plans for you that are being thwarted. God's got bigger plans for your life that he can't take you to where he wants to take you, because you're holding on to stuff. You're holding on to stuff. You gotta forgive. You're bigger than that. You didn't deserve Calvary. And because we don't deserve Calvary, and because we don't deserve forgiveness, then we're gonna show mercy. Because we don't deserve what Jesus did for me and you, then I'm gonna forgive others. When I don't understand, when I am hurt, I don't have to understand. When I think of all that Jesus did for me, how can I even hope to understand what is going on in someone else's life? I just gotta forgive. I just gotta move on. I can't let it weigh me down. I gotta get to heaven. Jesus did too much for me to get in the way of that, for me to let something else weigh me down and keep me from being what God would have me to be. I gotta get past. I gotta forgive. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do it. As you musicians come, as you stand with me this morning, the old man, the old sinful nature, it's the way of the world to hold grudges. It's the way of the world. It's the way of sinful humanity to hold on to things and not get past them. And a lot of times there's good reasons from a carnal outlook, from a natural view of humanity. There may be good reasons not to forgive. It's the way of the world to get offended and just hold on to it. There's people, certainly not in your family, but maybe in somebody else's family, that they haven't had so-and-so over for Thanksgiving dinner in 30 years because of something that was said. That's the way of the world. You know, don't feel like it's just your family. It's the way of the world. It's the way of the old natural man, the way you were before you were baptized, the way you were before your sins were covered by the blood of Calvary. So it's the way of the world to get offended and not let go, to allow an unforgiven offense to change the whole outcome of their life. I'm not being overly dramatic this morning when I say that. That unforgiven sin, unforgiven offenses, unforgiven, can change the whole outcome of our life. I'm talking about 30 years, 50 years. If it happened when you were 10 and you lived to 90, it changed the 80 years of your life. If you're 50 and it happened last week, if we don't forgive and get past it, it will affect negatively. It will poison the last decades that we live on this earth. It will weigh us down. It will poison our spirit. It will destroy unity in families, in churches. That's not you. That's not you. You're a new creature in Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been filled with the Spirit. Don't throw that away. Don't throw that away. You're a new creature. You're not bound by that old carnal nature. And so as you come this morning and you find a place to pray, remember the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Would you come this morning? And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anybody, would you forgive? That your Father, which is in heaven, can forgive you your trespasses and forgive you your sins. Would you come this morning? Would you find a place to pray? Would you turn around in the chair right where you're at? Would you put your hands on your knees and lift your face to heaven and say, God, forgive me. God, I forgive them. God, search me, Lord, if there's anything in me, anything that I thought I was past, that I thought I was over, but yet it's still weighing me down. It's still affecting me. God, I forgive them. They've never asked me for it. God, but I forgive them. God, I don't even want to forgive them, maybe. God, I need your help. I want to forgive them. Help me to forgive them this morning, God, because I don't want to be weighed down any longer. I don't want to be bound. I don't want my life to be hindered. God, I forgive. I forgive. Forgive me, God. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me, God. Cleanse me afresh, anew this morning. Would you cry out to Him today? Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me.